This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's the...
billiard room.
Come on already. We call it the...
The Place to Be.
Yes, the Place to Be. The Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Ugh. Time to play the game!
No, you left me satisfied and smiling. So.
That's what she said!
So why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Japanese band Oral Vampire. Produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Or Aural. A-U-R-A-L.
What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in my collection there.
Oz went on to star in American Pie, of course. Bismarck. No, was it? Bismarck was on it?
Bismarck.
No, who's the other guy I'm getting confused with?
Bismarck. Yeah, he dressed as North Dakota.
There's only one place where the big butts play, and that is in my extra queen size bed. Well, it just happens. What can you do?
Let's talk to things.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
Is that the shock master's wall?
Yeah, I like big dick myself. I was just curious. PTB Nate, let me know what
you're
doing.
Our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richard. So dangerous, we so dangerous. My whole entire unit is dangerous. Hold your breath, we swinging it from right to left. With the wide cleft, should be hot to death. Staying alive, you know only the strongest survive. Holding my heat under my seat, whipping the fire. Baseline for all of my people moving around. Give me your pound, all of my niggas holding it down. Cutting you up, the new shit, rocking you up. Fucking you up, my black hole, sucking you up. Back in the days, that nigga used to be ass out. Now a nigga holding several money market accounts.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to the great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Rosero, coming at you live here this evening, and we are very excited. We have another great interview lined up. Hopefully you checked out our chats with Jim Ross on the Kevin Kelly Show and Jeff Jarrett last week as well, right here on the Place to Be Podcast. Of course, I'm Justin Rosero, along with my PSC, Scott Criscola. Scott, how are you?
Good evening, JR. Always a pleasure. Good evening, Place to Be Nation. Welcome to episode 356 of the Place to Be Podcast, and this is a guy, he's on your, I mean, I've always been a fan of his, but this is kind of a bucket list guy for you too, I think.
Yeah, he's someone I've wanted to interview for a long time, and we mentioned him, I think, very early in the run that it'd be cool to have on, and we're going to talk to him. It's going to be probably a quick chat, but we'll get a few cool questions in. We'll see what he's up to now, and that's Ken Shamrock, the world's most dangerous man. Before we get to that, though, Scott, let's talk about the world's greatest pop culture site, and that's PlaceToBeNation.com.
Of course it
the
is.
The Seinfeld rewatch series going on, and we're into season four. All the regular columns, all about... movies, comics. We have the awesome tournament going on right now, the greatest songs of the 90s. We're into round two of the pool round, which is wrapping up pretty much this weekend. And then we'll be on to 128, and that turns into actual brackets. So we threw in 640 of the greatest songs of the 1990s, and we've had different pool rounds to whittle it down. So if you haven't been part of that, join in now, and you can take part in the voting. Also, another new series, this week in 90s wrestling for our buddy Charles for PWO. Because each and every week on Sunday, he's going to look back at the week that was back in the 90s and pull important moments, matches, promos, debuts, and there's write-ups on these things. There's videos, there's links to matches. And so it's going to be a really, really cool piece that we're very, very excited about. Each and every Sunday, come check that out. This Week in 90s Wrestling by Charles Williams from PWO. A must-read here, Place to Nation for wrestling fans. We have a lot of must-reads, a lot of must-listens, the NBA team podcast, a bunch of sports podcasts as well, including your Extra Point. We have the Sports Lounge. We had a lot of Wrestle Kingdom. We had a reaction show podcast with Will and the crew, and we also had a live blog that Chad Campbell headed up. So if you were into the New Japan show last weekend, you want to kind of relive that a bit, you could check that out. Joel Barnhart did his look at the Baseball Hall of Fame. Of course, we found out the inductees, but he also did a piece on who he thought should be inducted beforehand, which is a good listen. We have lots of cool announcements coming in January as well, Scott. Some new additions to the podcast family. Some big additions. It's going to be a lot of fun. And some new writers on the way, some new ideas on the way. One really cool concept we're working on regarding the greatest wrestlers of the last kind of 20 years. So a lot of cool things at PlaceToBeNation.com. Get in on the fun now. Follow us on Twitter, Place Number 2 Be Nation, Facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation as well. And let us know if you have any questions or if you're interested in writing for the site. always looking for new, fresh talent as well. Sports, pop culture, wrestling, your choice. So, Scott, we got that out of the way. So why don't we go ahead and bring in our very special guest.
Let's do it.
And, of course, that guest is the world's most dangerous man, the one and only, the legendary man from the world of wrestling and MMA, and that is Ken Shamrock. Ken, thank you so much for joining us here tonight.
Well, thanks for having me.
Really looking forward to this chat for a long time. When we first started the show about 4 years ago, you were one of the names on our list that we'd love to talk to someday. So very excited to have you here. And, of course, like I mentioned, you were a legendary in the world of MMA and inside the ring as well with the WWF and TNA and then the NWA and different indies as well. So, Scott, why don't you start things off, and then we'll dive into Ken's career.
Okay. Ken, again, a pleasure and a privilege. Thank you for joining us tonight. Tell us about what you got going on right now since you left the Octagon. You have a wonderful, a great website. I'll let everyone know about it, kenshamrock.com. Tell us a little about the site and what you've been up to.
Wow. Yeah, a lot of stuff happening.
Good.
Let me go back a little bit, too, just to explain a little bit. It's difficult as an athlete. You come out of pro wrestling, you come out of MMA. Things are exciting and fast-paced, and it's a fast life and an exciting life. And then all of a sudden, one day, it slows down. I mean, almost to a stop. And you have to find a way to reinvent or recreate yourself so that your life doesn't become like boring or depressing, because I think this is something that most people do not realize if they haven't been in the situation that some of these celebrities or superstars or people that are in front of the audience a lot, is that when it stops, you have to fill that void with something exciting, something creative, to fill your needs that you've been able to fill for so long by being an entertainer. And so for the past 12 to 15 years, I have been searching, recreating myself, finding something that would make me happy and fill that void that I end up leaving behind me. And I've done that through business. I've worked with some financial investments with the stock market and Grok Trade. That has been fun. I've also, too, have got a drink out called the Shamrock Slam, where in the process I just did a video, and it's going to be coming out. We're raising funds for the marketing strategy of the drink. It's a great drink. And also, too, I've got some exciting stuff coming up that I can't really talk about right now, but I would say probably in the next week or probably in a week we'll be announcing that. I tell you, it's been a long road. At times where I didn't think I was going to make it, there were some depressing times. And I tell you, for all those people out there who have been athletes or entertainers who I know for a fact are going through these situations too, where when the music stops, it's hard to fill or to create that music again. And it's just, you just have to stay with it, focus, and don't give up. Keep trying. It will work itself out.
Yeah, I think that's a great message, Ken. You deliver it strongly there, too. And you could tell it's someone that's been through it, like you said, speaking from experience. And sometimes that's the best place to hear it from a lot of these athletes and entertainers that struggle with that. And, you know, we mentioned KenShamrock.com. Sometimes you hear a website from a celebrity or a wrestler, an athlete, and you kind of picture, you know, like an old GeoCities kind of rudimentary site. But your site is unbelievable, great. I mean, it's slick looking, it's very sleek, a lot of updates, a lot of information, easy to navigate, got the Twitter feed on there as well. So everyone out there listening, definitely check out KenShamrock.com for all the latest information. You get the links to Ken's books on there as well, information on the films he's been in, what he's up to now. You can buy Shamrock merchandise, you can follow his speaking engagements. So a lot of great stuff there for Ken's site. Anything else about the website you wanted to mention, Ken?
Yeah, I want to go back to and just kind of mention the speaking engagements.
Yes.
One thing that I do is I work with troubled youth. I have opportunities to speak into these young kids' lives. I was one of those kids. I grew up in a group home with 18 other troubled youth in it from the time I was 13 till I was 18. So I understand what a lot of these young kids are going through. And so I have an opportunity to really speak into these kids' lives, knowing what they're going through, knowing what they're feeling, knowing, you know, the things that they've been through and what they're going through and what they're going to go through. And so I do a lot of motivational speaking with troubled youth. I also speak in with businesses. I do events because for me, the same thing applies to the business world as it does to life. You have to put your best foot forward, and you have to respect the people you work with, the people that are underneath you, the people that are above you, and the people that are beside you. And you got to always strive to be the best, always strive to get to the next level. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's respecting the people around you and respecting what it is that you're doing. And you'll be successful. Don't ever forget who you are. When I do my motivational speaking, I speak a lot about my troubled youth, the way that I was brought up, the things that I went through as a young child, living in a car, you know, not having parents at one particular time. So just the struggles and the mindset that I had wasn't necessarily the best thing in the world, but it was the mindset of fighting and never giving up, even though I was doing the wrong thing at the time. And I was able to transfer that thought process into something positive, fighting for something positive that would increase my visibility and my potential in this world. It's a great opportunity for me to give back, and that's why I do the motivational speaking. So anybody that's interested in that, that's really something that I have a passion about. You can go on my website, kenshamrock.com, and find out any information that you need.
That was such a big part of your character in wrestling as well. So, and not even character, your life. I remember that was all part of your story when you first joined the WWF and you started getting things going there, and that made you relatable. It made you, a relatable character overall in the world of wrestling. Not only was this badass, this killer from the MMA world coming in, a guy with a interesting backstory, with been through so much and overcame so much, like you said, fought through it. And I think that's what helped make you so memorable at that time.
Well, I think that and not doing it on purpose, and I'm glad it worked out that way, but I think that, you know, if you can make yourself relatable and approachable, even though you have this persona that you portray on TV, people have to know who you are as a person. And if you have the opportunities to be able to do meet and greets and be able to show fan support, let the fans know who you are outside that ring, I think they can connect a lot better with who you are as a character and a person. And that's how you build, I think, that strong fan base as you go forward. And even after your career is over, people are going to still love you because you have a similar type of situation that most people are going through in life.
Now, talking about your time in WWE, and again, WWE and MMA, obviously very different ways of working in a ring. Talk about the transition when you left MMA and joined WWE in late 96 into early 97. What was that transition like?
Oh, it was, for me, the in-ring stuff came easy. I think it was more of developing relationships and having trust within the locker room. That was the challenge, to get people to trust me. And I think probably 2 to 3 months in, I think that I gained a lot of trust with the people that I worked with. And that meant more to me than my performance in the ring, was that, you know, the people that I worked with actually trusted me to be able to do the things that I need to do in the ring and protect people that you're working with.
And also to become such a reliable competitor as well, someone that was utilized constantly, always on TV, and trust it to help be a you know, big part of big matches, big angles. I think that goes hand in hand with that trust from a company point of view as well as a you know, a relationship point of view with your fellow wrestlers as well.
Well, Vince took a gamble on me. You know, at the time, a lot of the boys, I think it was, I don't remember all of them, but they all jumped over to WCW, and they were getting killed in the ratings. And Vince took a big chance on trying to redirect the attitude of the pro wrestling to try to change it so that he didn't have to compete with those stars. And so when he brought me in, I think he was looking at, you know, that breaking those barriers of trying to stretch what you can say or do on TV. And when he brought me in, it was controversial already. The event that I was doing, which was No Holds Barred, was already controversial. And by bringing me in, it already created this era and this edge that pro wrestling hadn't had. And then to have Bret Hart and Stone Cold put on such a great match at the right time really redirected pro wrestling and WWF at the time into a different direction to be able to compete with all those big stars that Vince had already developed but jumped ship and was able to defeat them eventually down the road because of that move, because he saw that he needed to make a change. The thing that Vince did was look at what people were looking at, what was popular, what was controversial, what would push the envelope, and he went out and got somebody that he thought would fit that, which was me, and he put the plan together, and here we are right now sitting and looking at WWF owning the wrestling world. Would have been WCW if Vince had not made that move to bring me in, put Stone Cold and Bret together, and do I quit match. I mean, I just thought that was game changing right there, which I didn't know what I was getting into at the time. But now you look back on it, and pro wrestling is not the same since I got involved in it, and since Vince pushed the envelope, you know, to do and say different things on TV.
So heading back to that time again, Ken, and your career was a strong one from 97 to about end of 99. Looking back at your time there, what was your favorite match that you participated in?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, I had a lot of memorable matches, and there's a lot of them that stand out. Being able to get in a ring with Shawn Michaels was, you know, I mean, come on, what a great worker. Being able to wrestle with Bret Hart, man, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Undertaker, The Rock. We had a program that we worked together for quite some time with the Intercontinental title and the King of the Ring. And it just what a great opportunity that I had with the 2.5 years that I was there and the people that I worked with. Just some great and awesome talent that I got to get in the ring with. And I tell you, a lot of those moments I'll never forget.
You were in a real prolonged feud. You mentioned The Rock real quick. You and him had a pretty much almost a 7-8 month feud. You know, he wrestled at the Rumble, WrestleMania. What was it like wrestling with Rock in the early stages of his career when he was still kind of, you know, finding his way a little bit as a good heel? What was it like working with him at that time?
Very entertaining, very professional, and smart. Really, really pulled himself up, because I know when he first came in, especially, and when I first came in, he was struggling with Farouk, and then when he broke off on his own, he was just kind of like he wasn't there yet, you know. I mean, they really didn't have a direction to go, and then once they put a mic in his hand, I mean, he just what a star.
Is there anyone, Ken, that you look back at that you kind of wish that you had crossed paths with or got a chance to have a match with? You know, you had a couple of matches with Bret Hart, but maybe there's one, never won on that really big stage. You had a couple of, you know, quick ones on Raw. Anyone else that came along before or after you that you wish you could have had one chance to go, throw down with in the ring?
Roddy Piper, Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior. I mean, the Under the Giant. I mean, I could go on, man. A lot of great wrestlers that had come up through the time that would have been fun to to have a chance to get in. But I would have to say my biggest, wow, and it still kind of sits with me. My biggest thing that I wish that I would have gotten an opportunity to do was be able to work a program for the title. I know I got one or two shots that were just like one shot done, but I never really got an opportunity to go after The Rock, which I thought was being built up since we were hammering each other for the Intercontinental title, which he had, and then I ended up getting the Intercontinental title, and then he went up and captured the heavyweight title, and I thought I would be coming up to challenge him for the heavyweight title, and that just never flourished. But that's something that I think that was missing in my career in wrestling, is that the heavyweight belt.
And it would have been a ready-made story, too, with you coming out of the corporation and Rock being part of that. It definitely seemed like something that could have went down in early 99 and would have been a great feud with a lot of history behind it. One guy you didn't mention that I've always kind of had in my mind as a dream match for Ken Shamrock, and I always wish he would have came back to fight Kurt Angle.
Yeah, you know, Jack Swagger, Kurt Angle. Yeah, you know, and I've always made fun of that, too, because when I watch these guys do the ankle lock and everybody's going, look, he stole your move. And I said, no, man, that's a sign of respect right there. They don't do it right, but it's still a sign of respect.
I'll say, who's the best? You got the best one.
Right?
Oh, man, that was one of those matches in the early 2000s. I was like, oh, Shamrock's got to come back one of these days, have that match. So one guy that's out there right now making some waves, kind of doing the inverse of what you did, and that is CM Punk going from the world of wrestling to the world of MMA. What can he do to make this successful? Can he be successful at it? And would you ever answer that phone, Ken, if they gave you a call to take on Punk and teach him a few lessons?
Oh, absolutely. No question. In this day, when you're going from one thing to another, the thing you got to keep in mind, and I think that I hope that it doesn't happen, but you got to stick to what you know, especially when you first start out. And he has to go in there and do what his strengths are. I mean, if he wrestles and he's a decent wrestler, then he needs to go in there and he needs to stay with what he knows. Don't go in there and try and grapple with somebody that's got 20 years of experience or 10 years of experience, and you've got, you've taken classes for 2 years, but you haven't really trained to fight. You're going to be, hugely disappointed. So if I was training him, I would stick to what a few things, and I would make sure that I would slow the fight down. Don't make it go fast, because the faster you go, the more chances you have of making a mistake. Slow it down, ground them, control the match, clinch with them, and don't speed up, because the faster it goes, the more you lose control because you don't have the experience you need. So that would be something that I would definitely make sure that he does going in, is that he learns to slow the fight down.
Interesting. It'll definitely be interesting to see what comes of it. I know he's just starting his training now, and again, will be a very big story that we'll all be tracking, I'm sure, here as a wrestling and MMA fan. So, Ken, we want to go ahead and plug KenShamrock.com one more time for you. Again, if you're interested in hearing Ken speak or following what he's up to now, that is the place to be for that. Also, Twitter, @ShamrockKen, so you can follow him there as well for all your news and updates. Ken, we want to thank you so much for taking some time with us here tonight, talk a little bit about your career and your website, and we hope to talk to you again very soon.
Listen, man, thank you guys for having me on, and I want to tell my fans, what a great career, what a great opportunity, and I appreciate all your support, and I love you all. Thank you very much, and God bless.
Thank you, Ken.
That was a lot of fun there, Scott, really quick, but... Mm-hmm. A lot of energy still from Ken, and good memory, too, on the guy. For a guy that's taken quite a beating over the life of his career in the ring and in MMA, and I shouldn't say taken a beating, but obviously given a lot of beatings as well.
Oh, yeah.
But a guy that's been through the wars and still a really, really sharp guy. I was recalling stuff from 97, 98 immediately. Didn't have to stop and think about it. So that was a lot of fun. Crossed that one off the PTB bucket list for us.
Yes, absolutely. And I like his the one thing that surprised me in a good way quickly was when I asked him about his run with The Rock, because he did have The Rock when Rock was still a little bit green. And he said, I thought I was going to follow him to a world title feud. I would have been game for that. I think that would have been pretty cool. That's a bummer. I never really thought about it until he mentioned it, but that would have been pretty neat. But yeah.
And I think he would have been if he had stuck around, you know, when he left at the time in late 99. Think of some of the matches he could have had, some of the guys that were coming in. You know, like the Radicals and whatnot, and Taz could have been a fun match. So, I mean, I still think he could have maybe been in that title picture. I know it was getting a little tough, but think about 2000 with Austin gone and everything else. Maybe he could have gotten a couple, you know, a couple pay-per-view run with Rock or Triple H or something. But so, all right, so that'll do it. This may be the shortest episode of PTB history. Maybe we'll see if it clocks in shorter than our old Macho Man tribute back a few years ago. But joining us next week here, we have the live watch for Raw, May 17th and May 24th on Monday. And then later that week, we have Kevin Kelly, episode 26, main event, episode 25. You know who's on with you yet?
I do not know who will be on with us yet. We may bring back. Actually, we'll probably do the core four because Ben hasn't been on, it feels like, in about 50 episodes.
Oh, no, wait. This is the year in review, isn't it?
Yes. So we're going to extend it. I know we may have the core 11 or something.
Right,
so no, it's going to be a full blown. It's going to be a long episode. It's going to be longer than your normal main event. So, yeah, no, definitely an exciting show, and we'll definitely have more than the core four on. So, big crowd. What about K-Squared?
Oh, we have Kari Silken, big wig up at Ring of Honor. Kind of doing like a State of the Union address for Ring of Honor fans. So,
that'll
be leading into it's our final KK show before Philly. So, we'll do a lot of talk about that. We'll talk about other Ring of Honor goings on. He's been really pimping the TV over the course of January that's coming up. So, we'll talk about that. I'm sure we'll preview the Rumble. We'll talk a little bit about all the Daniel Bryan stuff. Lots to do on the Kevin Kelly show. So, for Scott Criscolo, I am Jess Rosero. We'll talk to you Monday night with Raw. My ankle locks the best. MVPs.
That's right. Because Kenny's not from Charlotte, North Carolina.
He would have never gone up for the slam dunk.
Hold on tight. You know she's a little bit dangerous.